Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. If you're listening from out of the area, you can call in at 1-800-521-1989, and we stream live on KQMS.com. So you can plug into your computer that if you get to work and you don't want the boss to be know that you're listening to us, as many thousands of you are, just kind of put your headphones on and just keep working and listening.
You rode in today on your Harley.
I rode in today on my Harley, and so I can't hear anything. And speaking of hearing things, here's Frosty.
Good morning, Carl.
How you doing, Frosty?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Well, any day I can ride the Harley is a good day. Going to go out today.
You're going to make it a short one.
Yeah, speaking of good, it's my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning, good morning. Today, the forecast is 103.
I understand that the hot weather has gone away, that it's broken, and that from now on it's going to keep going, getting cooler and cooler each day.
Well, yesterday's high was 112. It's still in the triple digits, expected till Saturday. I don't know about you, but when it's hot like that, you're trying to get things done. And it's almost like your feet are in molasses. It's hard to get in and out of the car, and you're trying to be coherent, and there's just something about feeling zapped from the heat. I'm not sure. I mean, not complaining, because when you got to get stuff, you got to get stuff done. And our lovely painter was there yesterday in that temperature.
I asked Robert.
Still,
this guy is
painting.
This guy's
in the sun.
He's doing such a great job, and he's out there. He's doing all this work. I said, "Hey, Robert, it's like 112 today." He goes, "Yeah." He says, "But." He says, if you get used to it, he says, you can work in this. And he's right, because how many times have I been in 120 plus temperatures carrying 50 pounds of gear and having to trot around? And you can do it. It's just, the fact of it's you've got to acclimatize yourself. You've got to be strong, and you've got to hydrate a lot.
Well, just like my girlfriend, I have a couple of girlfriends in New York who do not have air conditioning. And when I think about living in those little apartments in New York and the humidity and the heat, and they don't have air conditioning, they just acclimate their bodies to the heat. So, we're happy to be alive. All our parts are working.
That's the big thing, is parts that it worked. Hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I know it's hard to believe.
Okay, clarify it.
Okay. Well, Crackmaster windshield repair. Jeff Wurst, who's done so much for the community, for our veterans.
And our windshields.
I've said that he can fix cracks in windshield up to 11 inches. And I was wrong. 24 inches. He can fix a crack in a windshield up to 24 inches.
That's almost across the whole thing.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that he can't. He listened to me talking about him, and he said, well, you know what? He says, I should have called and said that, but I should have known that too. Anyway.
24
inches. So
that's 2 feet.
Yeah. Well, good.
I can't balance a checkbook, but I can tell you what 12 and 12 is.
Okay, good. Hey, look, we've got to take a break. Anyway, yeah. Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. And, we started early this morning, and it's gone downhill. But we're trying to pick it up again. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about health care today. Health care. I mean, it's in the news every minute.
And our special guest today, that's what she does.
Right. And now, to me, there's, definition of health care. There's a difference between health care and medical care. Health care is something that you can do for yourself. You can take care of your own health in the sense of diet, exercise, avoiding things that are bad for your body. You're not smoking. You're not, you're not 150 pounds overweight. And then there's medical care. And medical care is between you and your physician. And so, I feel real strong about, again, we go back to individual freedoms, that I really don't want, I want to be able to talk to my physician and not have to talk to one of President Obama's or any other representatives that get in between us. But going back to this, when we talk about health care, that our guest today, Trudy Pratt, is the type that works on the health care part of it. And with And you can save lots of money by being healthy. That's why we talk about working out. We talk about different things on health. Is then, you know, think of the thousands and thousands of dollars you could save if you didn't have to go to the doctor, if you didn't need certain procedures.
Well, if I may also add, too, that I think that as a naturopathic doctor, and I would think that at this time, people need to be looking at a mental makeover. Why am I eating this type of food? How do I switch my thinking in order to eat healthier? But to get, again, like Carl said, our guest today, and we love having her come in because she challenges us in how we approach our health and what we're doing. Good morning, Trudy Pratt.
Good morning. Thank you. Part of what I wanted to go over today really has to do with exercise, and I wanted to explore and look into the fact that 30% of us are sedentary. And before I go into that, I kind of want to go through relating to exercise, you know, who we are. And so basically, I wanted to take us through the fact that 20% of us exercise. We do it every day. It's a pattern. It's a personality of ours. Our hobbies are exercise-related, like Carl, who's flexing over here. Our friends are exercise friends. It's a passion. That's 20% of us. There's another 15% of us that we just exercise. We just do it. It's okay, but we still do it. We're there. We're regular. Then there's 65% of us, which I think is a drastically large number, that don't exercise regularly. And so 10% of this group, we start, we stop exercise. We're always sort of coming and going with exercise. And then, you know, when we look at this 65%, there's a group here that are just sort of active people. They're busy. They're not exercising. They're still part of the don't exercise regularly group, but they're active. They're busy. They're moving around. They're raising kids. And then we have this new group. And the new group is the group I'm worried about. And we're the group where really this is the technological age at its worst. And so we have people, you know, we have almost a third of our nation in this group, which means a third of our county, which means a third of our neighborhood in this group. And these are kids, these are people with jobs, these are retired people, these are disabled people. And so the classic look of this group would be you get up, you go to the computer, you go to work and you sit, and you're tired, and you get home and you're exhausted from sitting all day, and then you have dinner, and then you sit and watch TV, and you go to bed tired. And so one of the points I want to drive home today is that sitting is exhausting. And so we really weren't designed to sit. We were designed to move around. And so we develop a pattern where we're tired, we sit, we're tired, we sit, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we get stuck there. And so the worse you feel, the more you sit, the more you don't do anything. And so this is sort of our new technological age problem. And I want us to all look and see if we're in that category and just sort of, you know, here's some of the facts we're going to go through today and make some decisions to see how we can get out of that.
Well, you know, see, we go back into this. I think it's been hitting on the news in the last few days about the obesity problem mm-hmm. in the United States, that you've got over a third of the nation is over 26 pounds overweight. And then you've got you know, everybody's always known that, you know, heart disease and cancer, these, you know, that are huge cost for healthcare. Now it appears that people being that much overweight, diabetes, high blood pressure, which leads to, you know, heart problems and all this. So that's going to be the next big target. And then we're talking, you know, so, you know, is obesity a medical condition, or is this more of a mental condition? And we'll talk about this when we get back from our break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Hey, you know, before we go on, I went down to the Stockyards yesterday in Cottonwood, the Stockyards restaurant. Never been there before. What a great place that is. People there are so friendly, and I got to meet Vic, who's the owner.
Really?
Of the Stockyards. What a great guy he is, and a great, you know, what a gentleman. And he's going to be in charge of the fair this coming year over at Anderson at the fairgrounds. So, you know, we're going to probably have him on at some time. But I just wanted to kind of do a little shout-out out there to Vic and the gang there at the Stockyards Restaurant.
Our guest today is Dr. Trudy Pratt. And, boy, we're coming to some things that are so essential, I think, and important for our listeners to hear because our lives are changing as we know it in America for health care. So it really is going to begin with your mental state, what you're doing with your personal life and your family to motivate them. What's the next thing on the agenda here?
Well, I want to, if anyone just started listening, I wanted to catch them up with the fact that we're talking about people who are sedentary. That may be you, that may be me. 30% of us aren't moving at all, and we're moving less and less all the time, and we've sort of come to a standstill. And as we describe this group, I want to give some solutions. And so part of our first solution is that I want to challenge people to see if they can walk around their house for a minute. And I say that because, you know, in working with patients, people who have really become sedentary, it's a big deal. They need the closest parking spot to wherever they're going. They get back in their car. They drive home. Their life has become small. This happens in absolutely every age group.
They will drive for 5 minutes to save 15 feet.
Yes, yes. And it's because it does not feel good to walk that extra distance.
No.
And so part of what I'm hoping people can do, and this is my recommendation, is that you can walk for a minute. 1 minute, time it. A good time to do that is listening to this show. Walk for a minute within your house. Walk through the hallway, down to the bedroom, back down into the living room, and keep walking for an entire minute. If you can do that, there's a good chance you're going to be able to work up to 3 minutes. And 3 minutes is our magical amount of time where the brain starts to get oxygen, your circulation is flowing, you're starting to think more clearly, the brain is starting to really starting to focus and function, and your ability to concentrate improves, your ability to think new thoughts improves, to learn something, to remember your life. This is an important part of our community, and we need these people back. And so right now I'm hoping to get these folks walking about 3 minutes through their house, getting oxygen to your brain. The brain can adapt and rewire itself. It just needs stimulation. It needs from physical exercise and mental exercise.
Hey, Trudy, is there like walking programs for people that are sedentary, you know, to,
yes,
get them started again?
Yeah, but a lot of that, people are really, this is a nervous group too, you know.
How would you describe this group? Are they older? Are they?
They're everything.
Every age.
Yeah,
now,
they're every age. But once you lose your confidence in your body, you really start to, you don't really want to talk about it, you know. So this is something where I think if we can empower people to walk around for a minute and get to 3 minutes, then they can make it to the next step. And so if you can walk around for 3 minutes, you're starting to really get some good circulation to your brain, and you can start thinking about your life a little bit. And 3 minutes is a good spot. So go ahead.
Well, you can still stay in your cave.
You can.
You can stay in your cave for those people who are kind of embarrassed because, like you said, they feel like they've lost that image of what they thought they were.
Right.
But you can still stay in your cave and walk 3 minutes. And after those 3 minutes of feeling, wow, maybe then you could start coming out of your cave and go beyond that.
Maybe you can then hit your neighborhood. You know, maybe you can do a minute and a half out and a minute and a half back. And so when we look at the things that we're afraid of, we're all a little bit afraid of losing our mind someday, and we're afraid of having a stroke. Those are our fears. And so I want to throw this statistic at you because I find it to be so exciting. And that is that if you get to a point where you can get wild and exercise for 20 minutes a day, you can decrease your chances of having a stroke by 57%. That's a lot. And that's 20 minutes a day of moving around. We're not talking about crazy exercise. We're talking about walking, moderate walking. And so when we look at how we can change our life and change our outcome, looking at the long-range impact of our lifestyle, we can make dramatic changes and relatively fast. Go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Well,
somebody turn off her microphone. I'm in charge here.
I love it. She's passionate and on a roll.
No,
so
but that
we
20,
love that.
Bring it on. I'm kidding, of course. Hey, Trudy, that 20 minutes of walking is not speed walking either.
No.
That's just taking 10 minutes to walk down the end of the street and another 10 minutes back at some point, and you've cut your chances of having a stroke by 57%.
I mean, that's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah, and so we're looking at every different age group here. I have a boy in my practice who's 11, and he's a tech kid. He likes to sit all day. He's tired all day, which means he wants to keep sitting because sitting is exhausting.
An 11-year-old.
And he's 11. And I would like to think he's out climbing trees, but, you know, he's going. I have him riding his bike to his mailbox and back three times. And so.
Well, that's great because, you know, recently, in the headlines was this woman whose son was 550 pounds, and they're bringing her up in what, child endangerment or?
Oh, it is. It is child endangerment. I mean, right. How does a 13-year-old get to weigh 550 pounds?
And you're seeing that happened before your eyes as a parent.
But another problem, too, is we just got to take a break here in a second.
Yeah.
Things that you've brought up, and like the fact is we don't have physical education in schools
exactly.
anymore. They don't play dodgeball anymore. They don't get out and make them walk around the field. You know,
it's
anymore.
Get down to do 10. Like
and embarrass you
up.
About your shorts, but whatever. But still, they don't get out there, and they don't get out there because we don't have the money. And guess what? We're cutting back even on that.
We're taking your calls, 221-1402. If you have questions for Dr. Trudy Pratt, we got to take a break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. The king has arrived. He just like, okay, Dr. Trudy Pratt is our guest today. And we've been talking about what it is to empower yourself by taking control of your health and some fabulous stats. And to close this health segment, because we're going to get into some juicy stuff too, seniors,
yeah. The final thing I'd like to say about seniors is that there's a fact that I'd like people to know, and that is that the number one reason that people have to move from their homes that they've worked their whole lives to pay for into assisted living is that they don't have the strength. They don't have the muscles anymore to get up off the toilet. And there's a certain amount of muscle power that you need to keep those muscles going. And so after a certain age, you have to work to keep the muscles. They just start to get smaller and weaker, which means at some point people have to become exercisers.
Well, that's what we talk about with Addison's Peak Performance, because a lot of times people will associate the gym with barbells and weights and lifting and that kind of thing. But what we do there is all about strengthening the core for those simple things like getting up, picking up a bag of groceries, doing the laundry, getting in and out of the car, picking up your dog, your kid, your grandkid. It's really simple how those things, if you don't have your muscles, and they do as we get older, things slip.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Daniel, good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Hey, where you been, Daniel? We haven't heard from you for a while.
Oh, I've been just busy during your time slot. You know, I can listen on the radio, but I don't like to call a lot when I'm driving.
Okay, good idea, since it's against the law. Okay, what's up?
Well, you know, you mentioned about dodgeball, and I've been thinking about that for a while because, you know, I got a grandson who's school age, and I get involved with him in his sports and stuff. And since I personally was a little round fella about a year ago, you know, and I'm still losing weight, I got this heart for the fact that they don't do more physical education in school. And, you know, our administrators and educators got to get back to the point where there's two things that kids make, you know, makes them learn better. Number one is it's been a proven fact that kids that are involved with music and the arts do better in all the other core things. And kids that get physical education, they get up and get moving, also are better in all the core educational things.
Well, you know, you're not going to get any argument from this group, but you know, we need to find out is you kind of take a look at the things that are being forced down the throats of our educators about things they do have to teach that you know that may take away from one the core subjects, but also the part about children and you know the young adults getting out on an athletic field or being in the arts, because you know those are the ones that get cut. They get cut because what are you going to do? You're going to cut core classes or you're going to cut art classes? And unfortunately, the art classes are the ones that go.
That's true, you know, but unfortunately, that you know, you got to have the creative part of your brain to work to be able to do the other things.
Well, you know, my brain was very creative in school as I tried to find ways to avoid doing some of the homework.
Oh, you and I could have been soul brothers there.
And by the way, Daniel is half of the man he used to be because he's been losing weight. So, hey, Daniel,
congratulations,
good job
bud.
There, Daniel.
All right, well, have a nice day.
Thank you, you too.
All right. Harry, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm kind of interested in this walking business there.
Uh-huh.
It's, I try to walk But I have a problem that in that I've had two operations on my back, and it still hasn't done any good, and it's very painful to walk. But I still force myself as much as I can. But I have to use a cane because I'm losing my balance, and my brain isn't working very good either. I stand up and to go do something, and then I forgot what I was going to stand up for. And I used to be pretty sharp, but not anymore. And it hurts to walk.
So, Trudy, what can you tell Harry?
You know, Harry, what I would recommend, and you would be the perfect person to be slowly moving in a swimming pool. I mean, you just would. Walking in a pool, and I don't even know if you have access to such a thing. It could be too big of a leap. But once you can get rid of some of the gravity that pulls down on your body, because, surgeries are, if you're in a lot of pain, you're in a little different category there. And if we could get rid of some of that gravity pushing down on you and have you walking, in a pool, not swimming necessarily, even out at the lake, just walking in the water. I don't know if that's too big of a stretch, but if it were a perfect world, that's what I would have you do.
I see. Well, I have a pool that I can do that in.
You do? Okay.
I think probably I'll give that a try.
Well, Harry, they do that. That's the hydrotherapy they use. It's not just on athletes, but they use it also on animals too. They train them in a way because it doesn't put all the pressure on their ligaments and their joints and their feet by using the water. So if you've got access to it, please do that. I think you're going to find a difference.
And I would just move very slowly. Just, our thing we do in life is we remember what it was like to be 17 and we take it out too fast and then we're sore and then we don't want to do it. And I would just move very gently so you have success.
Yeah, then I cry a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, Harry. Thanks for your phone call.
Okay, thank you very
you
much.
Bet. If nothing, for the whole, if that does nothing else but help Harry, that was well worth every minute.
Absolutely,
I would agree.
And if he does get in the pool, good thing again is getting that oxygen to the brain where he can remember, and then it becomes better than the greatest cup of coffee in the morning. It's this. Wow, I feel alive.
Yeah, and that's good. Trudy, any little last thoughts here for this?
Yeah, I'd like to make a quick point about remembering. I think we always have to remember that the value of elderly people is remembering the past, and we rely as a culture on not making all the same mistakes, and that means that somebody clear out in front of us has to remember. And so the more we can share yesterday with our kids, the better we're going to be.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, Trudy Pratt. And now you've got your health practice down on
I'm on
Court Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
And you also blogged, I think, for the Record Reading.
Right? Reading.com, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Trudy, thanks a lot for stopping by today.
Thanks so much for having me over. It's always an honor to have you in the studio.
This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We come back, we're going to be talking architects, and we're going to be talking Williamson County Act, and we're going to be talking about just a number of little things here. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, today they're having services for that firefighter that died down in Hayward. The firefighter's name was Thomas Marovich, TJ. It's going to be at 10:30 down in Hayward. He died from a rappelling incident. He fell 200 feet. I've seen, of course, the kind of jobs I've had is rappelling was just part of the deal. And so you do it so much, sometimes you forget that, you do something wrong. I mean, I've seen people get severely injured because they did something silly. And I'm not saying he did it. From what I understand, maybe it was even a piece of gear. But or even if you're doing everything exactly right, sometimes there's just, you have an incident and somebody gets injured severely or gets killed.
Well, rappelling is dangerous.
Rappelling can be dangerous. And, it's so equipment related. And so that's why when you're learning, you've got different lines, safety lines, extra carboners on there and, just all types of things, but you just can't guarantee everything's going to work.
Right.
And it's just the way it is. But our thoughts go out to the family because these firefighters, Don't have an easy job.
It was a training mission, wasn't it?
Just a training mission. You'd be surprised how many people get injured in training missions. I think that when we went into combat during Desert Storm, getting ready for during Desert Shield and going into Desert Storm, we had less people injured in the war than we usually had during training incidents during the rest of the year.
Well,
so that kind of tells you something.
Our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Hey. Understand we're getting a new juvenile hall. We need a new juvenile hall. We absolutely do. If you've ever been out there, and I've been out there several times to teach, that they've gotten $30 million through grants to build a new hall. And so the Shasta County Board of Supervisors just approved a $1.5 million agreement with the local firm of Nichols, Melberg, and Rosetto. Is there another architect firm in the North State? It seems to me that they've designed everything around here. And according to the story here, they had four different bids. One was over, and that means, I guess, two were under. So, what's the story on that? Is it if all the rest of the bids were not from, local contractors, are they from, places outside the state? I can understand that, as long as, it was kind of comparable. But it's interesting. The other thing, too, is that I've saw some comments to the effect of, do we need to design a new building? Could we use an already existing design from another juvenile hall? Could that have saved some money?
Okay. How many jail cells are there in the bottom floor of the jail that they just let go?
At the top floor?
Well, it was okay. Top
yeah, but
floor.
it's a different thing. I know what you're talking about using that. But the juvenile hall is they go to school, they go through counseling and all that, and I think they're talking about 90 beds here for this. And the the facilities there are antiquated. The school areas there are in trailers, and can they successfully get these people out of here? That's and the idea between juvenile hall is that they've done something wrong, but
cell phone, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Anyway, I just completely forgot my what I was saying, though. Okay, yeah, they've got to get them out of there. See, juvenile hall, they come in and they go out, and they,
the beds have been antiquated, and so where do we go from here?
They go to school, and then they go back out. They go to juvie hall. They'll be released, but they need to keep them going. It's constantly through there. So do they need a new facility? Yes. I don't know. Did anybody else hear that in the in your earphones?
No, go ahead.
Okay. No, that's what I was going to say.
Okay. So now you were talking about the architecture firm, and
I just said that there's, how many other architects were there, but it doesn't say so in the paper here.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl in the Bot on Free Fire Radio. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. I've just stomped on every cell phone in the studio. when I hear cell phones, usually you can ignore them, but for some reason, this one was right deep into my headphones here, and it completely blew away anything I was thinking
about.
Well,
we were talking about juvenile hall, and we're talking about the firms, the architect firms, and we also have an input from a friend that we trust and respect, and he's you'll see him on Reading.com and his blog, Mark Beecham. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Mark, you've got some strong feelings about this too.
Yeah, I think Nichols, Melberg, Rosetto is a local firm. They employ a lot of people. It's great they get work, but my gosh, all their buildings look exactly alike to me. I mean, we have an architectural hegemony in this town that is really disturbing. Every single major building that has been built in this town since the City Hall, which they designed 10 years ago, has been by Nichols, Melberg, Rosetto, and they all look alike. My feeling is, look, their clients, in this case, the Shasta County is approving the juvenile hall. Get them to mix it up a little bit, guys. If we don't have a local firm that can do this work, and we have other local architects, maybe they don't have the capability to do a large building like this, at least make it look a little bit different. And you see in the article today, I think, a little bit of frustration on the part of the county. Look, we don't want more clock towers. We don't want more palm trees. Make it look a little bit different, guys.
Yeah, and, you know, for and $1.5 million, you should be able to get what you want for that much money.
That's $15 million, I think, isn't it?
Well, no, I think the their design.
Right. Yeah,
their design is $1.5
That's right. They get 10% of the fee.
Yeah, and so, and the you know, one, yes, we need new juvenile hall. We had Brian Richard on the other day, who is the head probation officer, and he is ecstatic about this. But you know, just when I see things like this, I wonder did was the money spent wisely? I mean, the county board of supervisors, they've studied it. We haven't. So I assume that they took the best option. But you're right too, is that they should be able to provide plans that meet the requirements and don't have palm trees and clock towers there. Joyce, good morning.
Hi, I'm Joyce Long, and is it too late to talk about senior exercising?
No, ma'am,
not
it's
at
never
all.
Too late. This is open line.
Well, I'm age 76, and I go to a exercise class in Anderson at the City Hall twice a week, and the women in there are aged 50 to 82, and we're all very active, and I think it helps your mind and your body. And I also ride a motorcycle. Goldwing, and I just finished riding over 11,000 miles around the United States. So,
Joyce,
keep up your exercising, and you could do a lot.
Hey, Joyce, was it your bike, or were you riding with your?
No, my own bike. I ride a Goldwing.
Would you please send us a picture at freefireradio.com? We need you to send it, and of course, there's a link there to our website. We need to put you on our website because you are our hero.
Okay.
That's fabulous.
All right, I'll do that. I have pictures of the four corners of the USA that I went to.
You rode the four corners?
Yes.
Wow, Joyce.
This is my second time of doing that, and I'm going to ride the Three Flags again for the 18th time. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a Mexico to Canada ride.
Yeah.
And I've also got my Iron Butt license plate.
Now, okay, Iron Butt is for somebody that's driven 1,000 miles in 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's just for people.
From Cottonwood up to Washington State and came back.
See, that's for people that didn't know. And how old are you, Joyce?
76.
No, you're not.
You are a hardcore girl.
No, you're not, Joyce. You're really probably 26, and you're just telling us this.
How long have you been riding?
Oh, over 40 years.
Over 40 years. Wow. Yeah, you know, this is, you know, see, Joyce, you are the example is when, and I don't want to get political on this, but, you know, when you start talking about, you know, the woman that wanted the 100-year-old woman that wanted a pacemaker, and one doctor said, no, you know what, you're too old. They didn't take in the spirit of the person.
That's true.
And then the next doctor looked at him and said, you know what, you're pretty spunky. And they put a pacemaker in this 100-year-old person, and they lived another 5 years, had another 5 years of life before they moved on. And you've got to measure the spunk and the spirit of people.
That's true.
And when you get into, you know, and again, I'm not trying to politicize this, but when you get into programs that overlook this, and that's not right. And it's just not right. You've got to look at the person each time. So, gosh, you're quite the inspiration. I just got back from a 700-mile ride, and I was, you know, I limped for a couple of days. So.
Well, my last day coming home from the Four Corners, we rode over 800 miles.
Yep.
In one day.
In one day, yeah.
You know,
we went from Fort Bridger, Wyoming, to Redding.
So, you know, there's something about gold wings. You know, they go by, all you hear is this, nah, like that. And they have reverse on them, too, which is a scary thing
for me.
And
we don't get tickets or, you know, we drive, try to be very careful, and we try to obey the laws, and try to practice our skills.
Yeah, and I bet when the kickstands are down, you're knocking back a couple of tequila shots and dancing on the tables.
No, we don't drink or smoke.
Oh, well, listen, we really are serious about you sending us a picture. Please share this with us.
Okay.
Hey, Joyce, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, that's inspirational.
76. See, you know, it's... You
know, are you inspired?
Very much so.
I'm inspired because it's, you know, we talk about our 14 or 15-year-olds that are having problems getting out, or 20 or 30-year-olds, and then you see people that, you know, there's an old saying that you're as old as you feel. And, you know, and it's kind of still, to me, it still gets scary. And I look in the mirror and I go, wait a minute, I'm only 23. You know, what what happened to me? So that's great. Now, this week.
On Friday, I know it's open line, but I'm going to be having the Dean Martin Gold Diggers from all over the country calling in at various times, sharing memories of their days with Dean, television shows, headliners, Bob Hope stories, what the girls are doing now, and it's going to be fun. I think there's actually 10 different girls are going to be calling in on Friday. That's the 31st, so keep your radios tuned in. You might hear some stuff that maybe you've never heard before.
That's right. And then seeing tomorrow, we've got Wings of Angels, and we've got a number, and also Paisano Days one more time.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of things going, and we just want to thank our listeners out there. Thank you for your support.
And thank you for your input, Trudy.
And Mark. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? We'll be right back.